And this morning, we have the topic of forgiveness that we will be looking at. But we'll be looking at the practical side of forgiveness. And the practical side of forgiveness as it applies to your everyday relationships. Because do you know that sometimes it's easier to approach forgiveness on the big things than it is to approach or even admit the small hurts, the small inconveniences or annoyances that we hold on to. Not for one day or one hour, but sometimes years. And these things come from an unforgiving spirit, and they are not the way Christians ought to live. We are meant to be forgiving. And so we'll be looking at a few things regarding forgiveness this morning. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read only a verse here and get ourselves sort of introduced to this topic. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 and verse 14, and this is right at the end of the Lord's Prayer. That's the way we often describe it, the pattern prayer or the example prayer of our Savior. And at the end of this, in verse 14, we read, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is a very sobering passage. Very sobering. As we start out, I will give you a few, warnings or errors to avoid. These two verses, verse 14 and 15, are not telling us that if we do some forgiving, that then that gives us forgiveness from God. Instead, it is showing us a forgiving heart comes from a forgiven heart. We cannot expect that our trespasses are forgiven by our Heavenly Father if we are unforgiving ourselves. This is the understanding of this passage, and to know that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 18, because this discussion about forgiveness comes up multiple times in Jesus' ministry, multiple times. Matthew chapter 18, in fact, pretty much the whole chapter deals with this subject, after it deals with us, who's the greatest in the kingdom. It deals with this subject of forgiveness. And we have, we'll start in verse 21. That's Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him, that is, to Jesus, and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him?" Now, this is a good Jewish question. Sometimes we have a picture of Jews, maybe you do in your mind, of people who are very smart and they keep track of a lot of things. And in the Old Testament, for sure, they wrote down not only the laws, but how they could avoid breaking the laws and count out how many steps they take. Don't go one step beyond this amount of a kilometer, and that then you're safe. Not having walked too much, because that would be work. They were very good at listing out how much of something that we should do. In verse 21, then, Peter is asking, "How many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" Now, I want us to notice a couple of things here. It uses the word sin here, but this just means to transgress or to hurt one. This isn't necessarily talking about things that are sin against God. These are things where it is an offense against you. How oft shall I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Notice also it doesn't say against God, it says against me. How many times do I need to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Sin against God and how we handle that, that's a whole different discussion, and we could deal with that at a different time. We don't have enough time to deal with all the areas or aspects of forgiveness this week. But we have here the forgiveness of how many times ought we to forgive when someone offends or sins against us, when they harm us, hurt us. And then Peter gives his assessment. Now I want us to notice or to understand that Peter here is not giving a minimalistic, he is actually giving a generous understanding of forgiveness in this passage. He says, "Shall I forgive him till seven times?" And at first you might say, seven times, that's not very much. But understand that the Jewish rabbis, even at this time, had discussions going about whether they should forgive a brother who had sinned against them three times and then cut him off, stop talking to him, don't have anything to do with them anymore, as it were, put them out of your family. Those were the discussions that were going on at that time. And Peter here is saying seven times. That's a generous increase on what the rabbis of the day were saying. It's a generous increase. It's not double. That's more than double. This makes it all the more impactful when Jesus says, "I say unto thee until seven times." Not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. For those of you who can do math, that's a lot bigger number. 70 times seven. It's a lot more than seven. That's a huge amount more. How many times can my brother sin against me and then I still forgive him? Not once, not twice. I shouldn't give up after the 150th time. But 7 times 70. That's a huge number. The intention here by Jesus is to show the immensity of the amount of forgiveness we ought to offer to others. The immensity of that number. In other words, compare 3 to 7, all that's, you know, you're more than doubling it to get to 7. Jesus says 70 times that amount. This is as good as saying unlimited. If you're keeping track to the extent that you know when they've done the 708th time, 700 times 7 is what, 490? And 1. If you are keeping track well enough to know that they've done 1 over 70 times 7, you have an unforgiving spirit. You're waiting for the moment that you can not forgive instead of seeing if you can forgive. You might say, "Pastor John, I think you're taking this a little bit out of scope." But we have in the remaining parts of this chapter, remaining verses of this chapter, an explanation through a story, which Jesus does often. He explains his points through examples or stories. And in this story, he gives us the example of a man who is forgiven a debt, and how that man did not have any compassion on the one who owed him money, even though he was forgiven everything. We won't go into all the details today. Just know that the amount he owed was huge. Multi-millions of dollars today would be a comparison. And the amount he was owed by the other fellow servant was so small, it was like two cups of coffee. It was insignificant, less than an hour's work. It was very little. And yet this servant had no heart like his master. And we'll jump down to verse 32 and see the conclusion of the master on the servant who was unforgiving. And then we'll see how we're meant to apply the forgiveness that we offer to others. In verse 32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors and delivered him to... Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not his brother... forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. There's an attitude of forgiveness that is necessary. And so it's not talking about the number of times. That's not the important thing. It's not the main point Jesus has here is not that if someone owes you money and they don't pay you right back, then that's the kind of trespass he's talking about. No, forgiveness is necessary because forgiveness is the heart of our Savior and our God. God has a forgiving heart. God prepared a way for us to be forgiven. He had the plan for it before the foundation of the world. He knew mankind would sin, and yet he still had a way for us to be forgiven. Jesus died to bring us this forgiveness. We do not earn our forgiveness by forgiving other people. Don't get it wrong. But how can you claim that God has forgiven you when you are unwilling to forgive others? Now, like I said, we're going to look at some where the rubber meets the road, how we live our lives kind of examples here. The problem with this message and with messages like this is the kind of message where most of you here sitting are all thinking to yourself, yeah, there's someone else who needs to learn how to forgive. If I were to ask, put up your hand, and don't do it, but if I were to ask that, put up your hand, and if you need to forgive someone, most of us would either not put our hands up or do one of those, like, maybe there's someone, but I can't think of anyone at the moment. The problem is we often feel like we are not in need of forgiving any particular person at this moment. Not because we don't need to forgive someone, but because we are so blind and hard-hearted, we don't realize that we need to forgive someone. Before we leave this passage, because we'll be turning away very shortly, I want to point out one other thing. Peter makes a big deal about the brother coming to him, and then he forgives them. But Jesus doesn't say anything about a requirement for forgiveness here. Instead, he describes a heart that is ready to forgive everyone, his brother, their trespasses, and not just once or twice, but multiple times if needed, and without limit. So, before we go to another passage, what do we need to ask ourselves in order to find out if we are unforgiving in our hearts towards others? All of us have met someone who is bitter, unforgiving, And we've met them, and it shows. And here are some of the signs or things we can recognize in others, and then perhaps look at ourselves and say, do I have this towards anyone? First, when a certain person is mentioned, do we have hurt? Now, this is an indicator of unforgiveness. It is not proof of unforgiveness, because hurt can be a sign just that things haven't started to heal yet in our spirits, in our, in how we're handling things. But we'll use a picture that all of us can recognize. If you did something crazy and did some like super duper bike jumps and stuff, and then you broke your arm, would it hurt? And there's a couple of people in here who can say that it probably hurt. All right? It hurt. Does that pain last for an hour? A day? A couple of days? Yep. But in 10 years, you kids, you can't picture 10 years from then. But if 10 years later, your arm is still hurting, that indicates a bigger problem or that there's something else going on. So hurt is only an indicator. It's not always true. But if you have forgiven, then there should be a soothing of your soul. It shouldn't continually be raw. If it's continually raw, then either more attacks have been coming or you haven't forgiven. Again, that's only an indicator, but that's something to look at. The other thing is when their name is mentioned or you think about them, you might ask yourself this: do I want revenge? Do I want revenge? Now, sometimes revenge is obvious. You know, when you're a kid and you're plotting revenge against someone who's hurt you or wronged you, maybe you intend to do something like, I don't know, I can't think of anything at the moment. Oh, to get the rubber bands and shoot them so that they yelp out in school and get in trouble. This is a great type of revenge that a kid might come up with. Or if you're an adult, perhaps you plan to do something and with ill intent, you are hoping to harm or hurt them in some way. But sometimes revenge is much more subtle. Like, you are happy to talk and slander someone, to make them look worse than perhaps they actually deserve, rather than, whenever they're brought up in a conversation. Or you might rejoice that something bad has happened to them. You might think, oh, something bad just happened to them. Great. That is an indication that you have not forgiven. It's an indication that you haven't forgiven. Why? Because if you are forgiving, you will not want evil. You will want good for them. We are told over and over again by Jesus that we are to do good to them that hurt us. We're to love our enemies. These are all teachings of Christ regarding how we ought to approach people. And if we are rejoicing at the pain and suffering of someone else, that's what they get for doing this to us. See, God sorted them out. We are showing that we have an unforgiving spirit towards them. Finally, another test to give yourself. So first, the test of, does it hurt to hear about or think about them? Is it hard to think good things about them, or are you plotting revenge? By the way, if you're plotting revenge, you know it's wrong, okay? So you need to get it right now. Don't pretend that you're justified. And then finally, the final test to show whether you have unforgiveness in your heart is, do you have requirements before you will improve your attitude or actions towards them? Do you have requirements? They have to bring you a particular gift. They have to grovel this length of time. They need to bow down and call us great and amazing one, or whatever. You put requirements on their before you will give them forgiveness. Perhaps your requirement is that they have to actually come to you before they can receive forgiveness from you. We need to have a forgiving spirit that is ready to accept any apology at any moment, no matter how much or how little we have been hurt. Now, as I said, this is not just about the big things. Again, all of us are thinking about big things that have been done against us and how we have or haven't dealt with or forgiven those. But it is perhaps in the little things that this is seen most clearly. You know, ladies, you'll understand this one. It's the 110th time your husband dropped the socks next to the basket instead of into the basket. And you hold it, and it eats at you. It's not a big thing. It's not a world-ending thing. But if you hold on to that and you do not forgive, and instead you have, well, they've got to bring me chocolates, and then I'll be pleasant to them. You're having an unforgiving spirit. Okay? I know us guys can be a bit obtuse or unable to see us how we are affecting things. And it goes the other way. Men, and we won't mention it, otherwise we'll get in trouble. No. It goes the other way as well. When some expectation or hope or desire of yours is not met, and then you hold it against the other person. And it just festers. Instead of forgiving, we hold on to it. And we still put up with one another's presence, but perhaps we're not as friendly as we used to be. Maybe we have a cutting tone towards the other person, because until they apologize, or until they meet requirement XYZ, or until they acknowledge and understand how badly they have hurt us, we will show them no love, no consideration. Children, you need to forgive your brothers and sisters. This can be hard. Your brothers and sisters may take your favorite toy. Or they might tell on you when you were doing something wrong, and that got you into trouble, and now there's tension between you and your sibling. You need to forgive. Don't hold on to it. If you are still feeling hurt with something like a toy or those interpersonal issues that spouses have, if you're holding on to that the next day, you're holding on too long. The Bible's very clear about not holding our wrath overnight with our spouse. We need to be open up front and deal with things immediately and forgive immediately. But the hurt should have disappeared very quickly. How much hurt is there actually in the washing of dishes when the other person's turn to wash the dishes because I did the cooking, so they're doing the cleaning this time, right? How long does that hurt last? Maybe your muscles are sore for 2 minutes. That's about as long as you have that you can be unforgiving and it not be just outrageous. You shouldn't be hurt days, weeks, months later. Forgiveness is necessary. forgiveness is necessary for those little things. Does this mean that each one of us should be saying the word, "I forgive you," 1,000 times a day? Probably not. Might be a bit excessive. We can instead go to our Heavenly Father and unburden ourselves of our unforgiving spirit regarding every little thing. But I want us to again, so all of these little things, we often hold on to them. We don't forgive immediately and completely, and we should. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for our sins and forgave. I want us to consider how He forgave us. How did He forgive us? Colossians 3:13 says that we are to forgive as God forgave us for Christ's sake. How did Jesus Christ forgive? On the cross, well, actually, as He was going up to the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them." He said, "Father, forgive them." The hurt was still happening. There was still a lot of the crucifixion to finish. He was forgiving before all of the pain and suffering was even done. And we see that His forgiveness was entire and open immediately. Because we have the example of that man who was hanging on the cross next to Him, who moments before had been cursing Jesus, but then changes and says, ask Jesus for forgiveness. And Jesus says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The forgiveness was instantaneous. It wasn't wait a bit. It wasn't based upon this man on this cross forgiving someone else first and then he could be forgiven. No, Jesus forgave him immediately and completely before the hurt had gone away. If we wait for the hurt to finish before we forgive, it's not really much of forgiveness, is it? It's more like forgetfulness. That is, your mind is going, you're becoming less able to remember. That's not at all the same as forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of your will to say, "I will hold none of this against you. I will hold none of this against you." Let's go to Luke chapter 7. I want us to see that we are forgiven much. How can we hold against someone little things? How can we hold against them a word spoken that went in one ear and died in the telling? Yes, it hurt. It hurt for a time. But how can we hold that against them when we have been forgiven so much? We'll begin reading in verse 43. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." I want us to note here that the forgiveness and the love are coming at the same time. She is loving greatly, and she is being forgiven greatly at the same time. And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he saith unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." We see here that forgiveness has been given. And for each one of us, we can assess that we have been forgiven little, or we can look at our lives and say we have been forgiven much. Again, one of those times when we could do the hand raise thing, but this time I think the answers would be the opposite. Who here thinks that they have not been forgiven? Who thinks they have been forgiven much? And the hands would go up. I have been forgiven much. I have sinned over and over and over again. I have trespassed. I have broken faith, as it were. I've done things that were mean, nasty. I've done things heedlessly, unintentionally, that caused harm. I caused annoyances. All of those things, and I have been forgiven. I've been forgiven so much. I should have the same heart as the one who forgave me and be forgiving or generous in my spirit towards others and forgive them. Have I been forgiven? Then I should have a forgiving heart. Today we haven't been dealing with reconciliation. That is different. There are some actions from which there is no coming back. There can be unfixable harms or consequences. If you and I were in the woods cutting down a tree and I cut your arm off, I could apologize as much as I like, and you could even forgive me from your heart. That doesn't cause the arm to grow back. That's not how this works. There are some results or consequences from our actions that cannot be undone. But we should not hold against others anything. We should forgive. We should forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Sometimes we armor ourselves with the, "All, I forgive, I'll say the words." But anyone who sees you when the name of that person is brought up knows that you still hurt. They know that you're still harboring evil against that person, because when something bad happens to that person, the smile shows up on your face. You may have convinced yourself that you forgave them, but you actually haven't forgiven them from your heart. You're still holding it against them. We are to forgive. Don't hold expectations on others. Things that they must accomplish before you will forgive them. Be ready to forgive right now. How then can we forgive? Well, we should forgive before they ever ask. We see this pictured for us by Joseph in the Old Testament. We also see this pictured for us by David and Saul. David had javelins thrown at him. He fled for his life, and he could have doubtless held it against Saul. But instead, he had forgiven so completely that he was unwilling to attack God's servant, the king that God had put over him, because David had forgiven. It doesn't use the word forgiven, but that's the concept that's shown. And Joseph, it's the same. His brothers had put him into slavery. He had then been unjustly accused and put into prison. And yet, we do not read one word of him requiring of his brothers anything. Instead, he does them good. He not only accepts them and gives them their money back and gives them the food that they needed, but then he says, "Now come and live here and I will take care of you and your children." He does good to them. You can't do that if you're unforgiving. And there's not one word in Scripture about him coming to Potiphar or Potiphar's wife after he is made second in the greatest kingdom of the time. Egypt was powerful at that time. They had the greatest armies. They controlled a large section of the world, and most of the population of the world was coming to him for food. And yet there is not one word about Potiphar and his wife being punished or attacked by Joseph. In fact, we are told that Joseph had God with him while he was in that prison. Might be stretching it a little bit, but Joseph must have forgiven Potiphar, his wife, and his 12 brothers and the slavers before that point. I'm not saying it was instantaneous. It's a long walk from Canaan down to Egypt. But at some point in there, he had forgiven his brothers to the extent that he didn't even have a thought of revenge. He didn't have a thought of attack. He wasn't rejoicing at the fact that they were dealing with a famine. No, instead, he wept at their pain. And he wanted what was good for them and their children. So we need to go to God and forgive others, saying, God, I will not hold it against them. I don't require anything of them. I'm not looking for revenge from them. I don't need them to pay me a pound of flesh before they can be restored to fellowship with me. I forgive them now. That is the very essence of forgiveness. And then we should start to do good towards them. What keeps us from being forgiving, and we'll finish with this. Often what keeps us from being forgiving is that we do not view that we have been forgiven much. We're pretty much okay. Why would we need to forgive someone else? Secondly, we are unforgiving because we do not think that God will work things together for good. How will God work it together for good? I don't know, but he will. He took being put in prison for Joseph, being sold into slavery, being falsely accused, and God turned all of that into a way to serve others and bring glory to God. God works all things together for good. You don't have to know how or when, but we do not believe in our hearts that God will actually work things together for good. We look at our hurt and we say, this is evil, it's bad, it's wrong, therefore I'm justified in being hurt. Instead of saying, God, I've been hurt. I give it to you. Work this together for good as well. We don't trust God. So forgiveness is often held back because we don't trust God or because we don't think that we have ever done anything that needs forgiving. The debt we have, and this is a fun study you should do, compare debt and forgiveness in the Bible. You'll find that they're often linked. They're often linked. Where our sin is a debt, whether it's against God or against others, and forgiveness is the necessary way to reconcile this debt. It's the only way. You can hold on to your hatred, your anger, your hurt, or you can forgive as God forgave us through Christ Jesus. You can hold on to your annoyances, or you can forgive because you have been forgiven much more. You can say, I've forgiven enough, or I need this, 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 this before I can forgive. Or you can take Jesus and his heart, take Jesus at his word, and see his heart when he said, 70 times 7, forgive your brother. When he said, if you've been forgiven much, you should forgive. You need to forgive. If you don't forgive, how can you claim to be a follower of one who forgave so much? Jesus forgave the very people who hurt him, who were putting him to death while he was going to the cross, while they were still laughing and mocking him, while they were currently hurting him, he forgave. You and I should forgive as quick as we can. Don't let it linger. Forgive. And then pursue reconciliation. The Matthew 18 passage points to us going to others who have done wrong to us, or us going to others when we have wronged them. But we will not do so if we have an unforgiving spirit. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask for your help, Lord, to see those areas in our life where we have offered no forgiveness, where we are still reluctant, where we are holding on to our sin of unforgiveness. Father, we so easily wait for them to make the first move, where we are not ready to forgive because we have not brought it to you, but we hold on to it, we cherish it, we hinder our relationships with others and our relationship with you just so that we can prove ourselves right, so we can get our pound of flesh, so we can get what's owed to us instead of forgiving. Father, we ask that you would not only point out those areas where we need forgiveness, but also give us the same spirit that Christ had, ready to forgive, ready to forgive, ready to forgive day after day. And Lord, we pray that you would make us truly followers of Christ, who forgive as we have been forgiven. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen.